Good morning and welcome to the Lodestar podcast news in brief. We're going to be recapping last week's supply chain news with the help of Alex Linnane and Gavin Van Maal. This episode is sponsored by Air Charter Service, the aircraft charter broker of choice for thousands of shippers globally. So if charter is the answer to your shipment, then contact Air Charter Service for a no obligation quote. Now, unless you were living under a rock last week or completely avoiding all messages coming out of the White House, in which case I absolutely would not blame you, then you were probably inundated with reports of last week's tariff updates. So US President Donald Trump had dubbed April the 2nd as Liberation Day, threatening the reciprocal tariffs to be implemented, plus the blanket 25% on automotives. Early in the week, the US Trade Representative built up suspense of this by releasing the US National Trade Estimate Report on Foreign Trade Barriers for the US. Alphabetically dissecting nearly 60 countries from Algeria to Vietnam. It was a very long one and I don't have time to go into it in detail, but the summary was that the findings of the report backed Trump's America First trade policy, and they said that the administration was working diligently to address these unfair and non-reciprocal practices. So everyone waited with bated breath for the predicted chaos of the 2nd of April, and as promised, the White House released a list of various tariffs on around 60 countries from the 9th of April. So I'm not going to say each country's tariff level as we're trying to keep this brief, and it also could very well change. But notable higher tariffs include 49% on Cambodia, 46% on Vietnam, and China's is now at 54% because their reciprocal tariffs was 34% plus the 20% already imposed. Deep breath. There will also be a baseline 10% tariff on everything from everywhere for all goods loaded on vessels from April 5th, which will not apply to countries targeted for the reciprocal tariffs. And while this is set to cause lots of economic and bureaucratic issues, there were a few supply chain effects that happened even before any of the announcements were made. And obviously lots after. Alex, are you able to outline some of these briefly?
Yeah, we had a tip-off last week that some very large shippers, namely Apple and a very large forwarder, had booked a significant amount of charters to beat so-called Liberation Day or the implementation of the tariffs. We asked a lot of forwarders all over the world, and although most of them didn't have much to do with the high-tech charters, a lot confirmed that there had been a rush of goods to come into the US. I expect that's going to continue to some extent as we now have more clarity on the US de minimis exemption. There is one more month up until May the 2nd, in fact, before new rules are implemented. Briefly, if e-commerce is sent through the post, shipments face a duty rate of 30% of its value or $25 per item, which goes up to $50 on June the 1st. If sent via any other service, e-commerce faces the same duties and tariffs as everyone else. While the Chinese platforms have already been working on this sort of assumption, it is likely that a lot of e-commerce will move into the US as fast as possible over the next few weeks. It's probably not just about the money, though. It seems likely that if adequate customs systems are not in place, and maybe they will be, maybe this is a government that knows how to organise itself, there could be significant delays in e-commerce. And so I'm expecting to see quite a lively month ahead in the world of e-commerce.
Can I just ask, when you say if e-commerce is sent through the post?
If it's sent via international postal systems, right. Then, well, the carrier then has to decide whether they're choosing $25 tariff or the 30% of the value. They can change their minds once a month.
We've also got to monitor other countries' reactions to these tariffs, and understandably, some are pretty pissed off. The European Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, said that they are totally against these tariffs. And although it is open to negotiations, its focus, like Canada also said, is on diversification to increase trade partners across the world, and also to unchain the single market and make trade easier across the EU member states.
I'd just like to add briefly, we had an email in this week that we'd put a picture of the Canadian flag below the US flag, and the new feisty Canadian made us change it. So I'm quite liking the new version of Canada. While we're speaking of responses from the EU, we also need to highlight the CMA-CGM deal. Presumably, with some encouragement from the French president, it pledged last month $20 billion worth of investment into the US in an announcement which Lars Jensen said had very little news in it, aside from a tripling of APL's capacity. But now Emmanuel Macron, the French president, has said that EU investments, including very recently announced ones, should be suspended following the tariff day. So anyone banking on the new 10,000 jobs pledge or facilities at Chicago O'Hare that CMA had promised may perhaps have to wait until the EU's response has been finalised. The EU is still very much hoping for a negotiation with its former ally, but it has now been mooted that it could invoke a never-before-used law which allows it to impose some pretty harsh restrictions on any country deemed to be weaponising trade. Under this law, if allowed by member states, it could do some quite significant things, such as withdraw US banking licences, cancel US intellectual property rights, ban US companies from government contracts, and so on. But it would be quite an escalation of hostilities, and one which I think the EU would prefer not to have to use.
Yes, they have very much iterated that they don't want to escalate, but will protect European interests above all else. Gav, were there any impacts that you found particularly interesting?
Yes, I mean, like you say, obviously some countries are retaliating, as one would expect. So on Friday, the State Council of China announced that it was introducing a 34% tariff on all imported goods from the US from the 10th of April, which is terrible news for US agricultural exporters who were hit the last time these two countries and got embroiled in a trade war. And I think I'm right in saying that that 34% tariff China introduced is directly retaliatory to the US one. So, you know, this shows you where these things are going. We also had a report last week that shippers who are sort of tired of the constant flip-flops in the Trump administration, it's just so many mixed messages coming out, really. This is the problem. But there were a certain number of them that have agreed to trans-Pacific contract rates at slightly higher levels than last year. The consultancy Linalytica stated that contract rates were about $200 per 40-foot higher than last year, which isn't a huge increase. And also worth remembering that, you know, at this point last year, we were starting from a pretty low base. It's just thrown the trade into great uncertainty. I mean, talking about flip-flops, we had a message from one of our freight forwarding sources at the end of last week that their major shippers who export into the US on both the trans-Pacific and transatlantic trade lanes had basically put a halt on all shipments being loaded onto ships departing for the US until they work out what on earth is going on. So there's a lot of people still waiting for the dust to settle from this.
When you said talking about flip-flops, I thought you were going to go into some thing about shoes or something. But yes, everything, as we know, is very subject to change. And I'll be really keen to see what happens during rate negotiations this year. Gav, while we're speaking about rates, now seems like a good time for you to give us your ocean rates overview, if you wouldn't mind.
Of course, Charlotte, I'd be absolutely delighted. Trans-Pacific spot rates were strong. I mean, we've just mentioned the strengthening in contract rates, and spot rates followed a similar path on the Trans-Pacific. They were up 10% to the West Coast and 8% to the East Coast. That's both on a week-on-week basis. We'll have to see how next week plays out. And you'll forgive me if there's a little confusion surrounding this, but with the new tariffs set to come in on the 9th of April, if a shipment is loaded before the 9th of April, and we work under the assumption that it won't be subject to the 9th of April tariffs, i.e. once it's on the water, that is deemed to have got in before the tariff thing. So that basically gives you, what are we here, we're Monday morning, you've got about 48 hours left to try and load any goods going to the US that might slip under the tariff net. So there might be a very short-term fillip to Trans-Pacific spot rates this week. Last week on Asia-Europe, single-digit declines to both Northern and Mediterranean ports. And, I mean, this weakness has been ongoing for quite some time now, largely attributed to growing overcapacity. I had a conversation with Alan Murphy at Sea Intelligence last week, who noted that capacity on Asia-Europe since Chinese New Year is now 27% higher than it was at the same point last year. So there's an increasing number of slots available, and I think we can all expect to see some blank sailings being announced pretty soon on that trade.
Thank you. And on the air side of things, last week was yet another increase in rates. The Global Baltic Air Freight Index, calculated by TAC, gained 7.1% over the 4 weeks to the 31st of March, to leave it a solid 5.1% higher than last year. And this was largely driven, like you said, also by a rush out of China to get goods moved before all tariff hell breaks loose, and also before the de minimis exemption is removed in the US. Freightos predicted that even though tariffs are now in place, this rush of last chance demand will likely continue until the de minimis exemption is removed on the 2nd of May in air anyway. So expect air freight rates up in the coming weeks and then a significant plummet in volumes and rates from China to the US as we start to approach the 2nd of May. Of course, if you have a vested interest in the air freight rates, you can contact Air Charter Service for a no obligation quote. They are the very kind sponsors of this episode, of course. And I also want to highlight as a nice bit of news that last year, Air Charter Services charity committees around the globe helped raise over $200,000 for charitable causes through things like challenges, volunteering, raffles, and more. Air Charter Service can always deal in your preferred language, time zone, and currency, no matter where you are located. Alex, I also want to ask you about a story that you had last week on digital forwarders and how the sector was reaching its maturity. What did you mean by this?
Well, yeah, this was based on a really interesting article on how the so-called digital forwarding business is reaching maturity, which could also mean reaching the end, I suppose, which has been the case for quite a lot of startups, Freightwaller, Convoy, and there's several. The point is that essentially they've run out of the initial funding and there's not really much capital around to keep funding them. But I mean, Flexport is obviously the poster boy for the digital forwarders, and they are still some way off profitability and their IPO they announced recently. I won't go into too much detail on digital forwarders, but if it's a subject that riles you at all, then it's worth reading the article on thelowstar.com.
Gav, back to you. And I believe there was an acquisition last week that piqued your interest. What was it and what does it mean for the market?
Yeah, it's all going down in Panama, isn't it? Obviously, background to this is the big sale of the Panama Ports Company to the BlackRock and MSC consortium. But at the same time, we had an announcement that APM Terminals, Maersk's port arm, has bought the Panama Canal Railway Company from its owners, which are a joint venture between Canadian Pacific's at Kansas City and local firms Lanco and Myjack. It remains to be seen how strategic this is. Just for reference, the Panama Canal Railway has a double-stacked container train that runs between Balboa and Cristobal. So that's on one side of the canal, and it runs between the Pacific and Atlantic coasts. We calculated last year that we think it's able to carry about 2,700 TEU a day, giving it an annual capacity around 2 million TEU. Interestingly, Maersk is a key customer of this company because during last year's drought in Panama, when transit numbers were halved, Maersk decided, it was an Oceania North America service, it decided to stop transiting the canal. It called in Balboa. The containers were offloaded from the ship onto the rail, railed across to the Atlantic, and then reloaded onto another Maersk ship to go up to North America, thus saving the canal transit and effectively saving a whole load of fees and so on and so forth. I think, interestingly, what remains to be seen is how strategic this buy is, whether it's part of some cunning plan to integrate a sort of land-based option into the Gemini network, or whether it's just simply an opportunistic buy done as a kind of response to the Hutchison sale. Who knows? But it's going to be very interesting to see how they develop this particular company in such a crucial trade juncture.
Thank you both very much.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Thank you very much, Charlotte.
So now we have unpacked the chaos that was last week's supply chain news. Here is what you will likely see this week. Well, I'm sure we're probably going to have lots of reports and probably complaints from stakeholders as everyone tries to make sense of these new tariffs and what it will mean for their supply chains. Obviously, the 10% blanket tariffs went in over the weekend, but from Wednesday the 9th of April, the targeted reciprocal tariffs will come into play. We've already had some retaliation from other countries, but expect more of that as the trade war heats up. I mean, from what's happened in the past, I would not be surprised if we also had news of the tariff figures or implementation dates changing, just to keep everyone on their toes a little bit more. We also have a few webinars this week that might be useful for you if you want some expert insight or advice. On Tuesday, there is a Flexport European freight market update. And on Thursday, there is a Freightos monthly market update with a focus on the latest in the US trade war and how it will impact ocean freight with guest John McCown. Also on Thursday, there is a Tiaca and Zenita air freight update looking at the next era of air freight, market shifts, global tensions, and winning tender strategies. We will be attending both and reporting the key takeaways on theloadstart.com if you don't have time to attend. The EU competition enforcer has set a deadline of April the 8th to make a decision on the DB Schenker and DSV takeover. So they will either clear the deal or launch a deeper investigation this week. So we will have a report on that. And of course, we are still waiting for the Competition Markets Authority decision on the GXO Wincanton takeover. The Loadstart is also looking to launch a Q&A style podcast, and we need your help for this. So we want you to send us your supply chain questions, whether they are general, you want an opinion, or if they're directed at a specific company, but we will do the digging for you and reveal the answers directly to your ears every episode. Whoever asks the questions will be kept anonymous, so you don't have to worry about that. Please don't hold back. You can send your questions to me, Charlotte at theloadstar.com, Alex at theloadstar.com, or Gav, which is Gavin at theloadstar.com. And please make the subject of the email podcast Q&A, and we will get back to you with the answers when the podcast launches very soon. Finally, Alex Linnane has an interview with the head of Virgin Atlantic Cargo, so do keep an eye out for the write-up of that. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks to Air Charter Service for sponsoring this podcast. Good luck with this week, everyone.